Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As lectionary preachers are apt to say this time of year, what, bread again? And one commentator put it this way. In the Gospel of John, this sixth chapter is so loaded with bread images. It's there for a purpose. It's there because it points us to something so important that it can't be ignored. It's there like a hospice bed in a living room. I don't know if you've ever encountered that, but it makes people stop putting what needs to be talked about in the background, in the back rooms, in a hospital room, and brings it right into the living room. Jesus is the living bread from heaven, the bread of life. And what does this mean? One way to look at it is perhaps it means it's Christmas in August. And you're all sitting there fanning yourselves going, "She's gone crazy," right? Christmas in August, it's hot in here. But let me back us up a little bit. Because this whole bread of life theme is something that the people around Jesus kind of understood. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the Jewish people in the crowd were thinking, manna. Remember when God just fed our ancestors and they'd go out, they'd pick the manna, they'd have enough. They'd go pick it the next day, they'd have enough. Well, Jesus only did the feeding of 5,000 in this Gospel of John, the sixth chapter, only did that miracle once. But the people who followed Jesus and chased him after that meal were thinking, "Hey, if we ask nice, maybe this could be like manna and we would have free lunch forever. That'd be a great deal, right?" But Jesus takes this miracle And he turns it into a really important talking point. He says, your ancestors ate manna. That was a really cool miracle. But they're all dead. Reminiscing about meals past brings back fond memories, brings back hope and faithfulness. Just this week, yesterday would have been my mother's 88th birthday. And she's been gone 12 years now. And I was reminiscing with some of my cousins, and my cousins said, man, root beer floats on the farm were the best thing ever. And I had forgotten about that. But then I said, well, you know why, right? It's because Mom made the ice cream from scratch and they bottled their own root beer. Hospitality, food, love, they all go together. But Jesus was making a much stronger point than that. Back in Isaiah, chapter 55, the prophet says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? The prophets were talking about eternal things, things that lasted, things that satisfied. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which does not satisfy? And then finishes up that chapter by saying, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Bread and the word are connected deeply here. That which satisfies. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty. Now, what was Pastor saying about Christmas in August? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. This is the prologue from John. This is the Christmas story from John. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And verse 14, chapter 1 of John, and the Word that was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh in Jesus. Still not catching Christmas? The word that Jesus uses for body in the sixth chapter of John is the same word that he uses for the word become flesh. This is my flesh given for you. The word became flesh. The word became one of us, fully human, living as a human, knowing our wants, our desires, our pains, our sorrows. The word became flesh. That's the Christmas story. John chapter 6 is the flesh is given for you. Now we say body in our sacramental language. The body of Christ given for you. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of times I've said those words. But what if on communion Sundays I were to say the word became flesh and is given for you? Do you see? The wholeness of Jesus, everything about the incarnation of Jesus is given for us and for the salvation and healing of the world. The Word became flesh, given for you. So these silly people that are surrounding Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000 said, "Can you feed us like manna again?" And you could almost see Jesus smack his forehead and say, "But I have so much more for you. I can sustain you. I am," by the way, that was offensive to them too. Just saying, "I am," because that's how God revealed God's self to Exodus and the Israelites, to Moses. "What's your name, God?" "I am." So the people are asking Jesus about who he is, and he says, "I am." And you can imagine that just about lit them on fire with their blasphemy antennas. "I am the bread of life, the word that shall not return to God empty. The word became flesh." But what is it to be sustained by the word made flesh? Cindy read part of it in Ephesians. You look anywhere in the New Testament, as the writers are trying to encourage the young church, and they will tell you that we are members of one another. Look in Ephesians 4. We're going to be spending some time in Ephesians these next few weeks. "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. If you are fed and nourished and filled with the Word made flesh, you have a higher purpose in this world. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up." The church that Paul was writing to in Ephesus had some trouble with their mouths. Some churches do. "Let only what builds up come out of your mouth. Don't tear down. So that your words may give grace to those who hear." Picture yourself this week as you speak, as you have coffee, if you have lunch with someone. How are your words going to give grace? Why do we give grace? Because Jesus has given us grace upon grace upon grace. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, which with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption." Every single baptism, child of God, you are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. That cross is an indelible mark on us. And then the Ephesians version of gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the flesh. "Put away from you all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, and slander, together with all malice." Put it away. You ever told the kids to clean up? Put away your mess. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. Put it away. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What is it to be a child of God, redeemed, forgiven, set free by the Word made flesh and dwelling among us? May the peace of God that comes to us through the Word made flesh, through the Spirit of God, fill us, sustain us with all we need to live as God's people in this context, in this world, in our neighborhood, in our church. Amen.